Hi. So I am Hannah Ruilova. I am from Citygate Church in Bournemouth. Represent Citygate. Whoop. Just like point at them. So Citygate, just a bit about it. We have two sites. We have one in Bournemouth and one in Southbourne. The Bournemouth one is a bit bigger. We are in the meeting now. So we've got two meetings every Sunday morning. We have around 100 to 110 kids that attend on a Sunday morning in the Bournemouth site. And then in the Southbourne, much smaller, around 15 children and around 15 servers. So it's a big team. But what's really interesting is that in experiencing the big church and the smaller church dynamics, I experienced pretty similar tricky team dynamics. So regardless of how big your team is or how small your team is, I really do hope that this seminar would be of benefit for you, whether you're a kids leader of your church or a team member or a youth team member. So my aims for today are two. One is I hope that you'll have a greater understanding of why we are called to be a united team of servers in partnership with God. And two, I do hope that you'll come away with some practical ideas on how you can be a part of initiating change in your church kids team. Welcome. Hi. So I'll speak for probably about 20 to 25 minutes. There's a group activity, so you've got some brown pieces of paper with like different scenarios you'll chat about. You'll just get time to just share your experiences, learn from each other, and then there will be some Q&A. But 5 seconds, maybe just speak to the person next to you. Just for literally 5 seconds, say a number, where are you at? Would you say your team's current state is one, aimless, out of sync, divided? Or is it five, united? Not necessarily perfect, but aiming in that direction. Where are you at? Feel free to share or not share, it's up to you. Okay, I said a few seconds, so we'll do a few seconds. Well, I can tell you where the Corinthian church was at. The Corinthian church at the time, you guessed it, one. Or maybe minus one. All in all, the Corinthian church at the time was a turbulent church. It was divided, warped in theology and practices. And in this specific passage we're looking at, which is 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 to 9, feel free to flick through that in your Bible. Paul was addressing the idolatry and favoritism amongst the congregation and their leaders. It's kind of like pitting, I don't know, Tim Blaber versus Guy Miller or something like that. And in response, Paul says, "What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building." Now, right from the get-go, we get the importance of teamwork in just 4 verses. Teamwork between the workers, Apollos and Paul, and teamwork between the workers and God. I call it the dream team. Paul, Apollos, God, dream team. And here, Paul stipulates the status of both him and Apollos. What is Paul? What is Paul? What is Paul? What is Apollos? Only servants. Servants not like in a slave-like status, but servants, servant leaders as displayed in Jesus. Now, why am I saying this? This is about turbulent teams, right? Well, before we start combating how to manage turbulent teams, we need to be reminded of what our role is and who we are. So, who are we? Right on the get-go, we are children of God. We are accepted, secure in identity in Christ, but we're also servants. We're also called to faithfully and obediently follow God's calling for us. What's our role? Well, it's to partner with God in His mission, His desire, We read this in verse 7. So neither the one who plants nor waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Paul humbly reminds us in verse 9, we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field and God's building. We're co-workers together, guys, and we are co-workers with the most amazing God. But how? In what way should we partner with God? Well, verse 8 says that we should be united. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. There's a wonderful dude called John Piper. He's a theologian, preacher in America. He's brill. And he commented on this passage, and he pulls out what he calls a means of oneness. And he encourages those who are in ministry to be one in purpose, dependence, and love. To avoid turbulence in our teams, we must be one in purpose, dependence, and love. Now, Piper's comments prove useful because turbulent teams can be aimless. It could be dysfunctional. It can include people who can be self-seeking. Therefore, to avoid turbulence in our teams, number one, we must be one in purpose. And so one reason that teams can get turbulent is when they don't have an aim. What's the aim of your church's kids ministry? Can you say it just in one sentence? Don't have to say it out loud, don't worry, rhetorical. I'll tell you a bit of my story. When I first started in my role, fresh out of uni, this is 2019, 4 years ago, despite going to Bible college, not that that gives you a leg up, I looked at the church vision, and then I looked at the kids ministry that was given to me. Oh my word, I was so overwhelmed. What on earth? How do I do this? Like, you've got ridiculous amount of team, fantastic, great, but they were all going in different directions. There was no aim. The aim was just so that kids don't die in a session. That was the aim. Let's see how it works. And during the time when I was really struggling, I was led to that passage each and every time on 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 to 9. This passage encouraged me to consider that number one, we need to do this as a team or else it's not going to work. And two, God's the one who builds faith, not us. We're here to facilitate. We're here to help children and create an environment for children to grow in their faith in Christ. So first year, I came up with our slogan, Citygate Kids is here to plant seeds of faith and to trust in God to make those seeds grow. And I plastered it in documents, I put it on the website, I got the t-shirt in, it's all nice and yellow, it looks wonderful. Sorted, right? All done, yeah? Unfortunately not. What happened was that I thought the aim by itself was enough. And over the months and years, I actually built up a little bit of frustration thinking, come on, people, we've said this a million times. This is where we're going, right? Come on, why aren't you getting it? And down the line, I realized that though the aim was in line with the church's vision and it's biblical and it's scriptural, the culture is what needs to be shaped in order to go in the right direction. Think of it like this. It's like a funnel. You've got the church's vision, and I believe it's important to go with the church's vision because you're one big church. It's not kids' church and then it's church. This is the whole church. Church vision needs to influence the kids' aim. And the kids' aim needs to influence the values. What are the values in our kids' ministry? For Citygate, I thought it was extremely important that the values would be discipleship-based. It needs to be relational ministry. It needs to be gospel-centered. Jesus had to be at the center of it. Needed to be fun. Kids needed to go in, have a great time. They feel like it's safe for them to be themselves. Maybe, you know, get sloshed with some disgusting thing. You know, I don't know. But it needed to be fun. But I also wanted it to be nurturing. And that meant that safeguarding practices had to be up there, top-notch. And when I consider all these three things, Whenever I had a short-term plan, long-term plan, meetings, proposals for change, assessment, these were the things I was talking about. These are the things that I was referring to. And I believe that was really helpful. And over time, I saw that my team leaders were valuing the same thing. People have started to think the same, value the same. It's slowly becoming what the ministry is about. We're nowhere near perfect, but we are getting there. So one way you'll avoid having a turbulent team, ensure that the aim, values, and practices are known throughout the team so that we're all on the same page, we're all going on the right direction, we have one purpose. One in dependence. Another reason that teams can get turbulent is when there are people in the team who are a bit dysfunctional. They go a bit rogue. They do their own things or think they can do it all by themselves. They may not say this, but they certainly show it through the way they plan. They don't actually delegate. They don't talk about what's actually going to happen that particular Sunday, or they don't turn up on time. There's timekeeping, or there's someone who is just saying, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it myself. Oh, I can do it. But as we learned from the passage, teamwork in ministry involves working together and working with God. Paul planted the seed, Apollos watered it, and God has been making it grow. Therefore, it's important that we depend on each other. We work out what it is that our strengths and what are the things that we may struggle at. So for example, when I'm leading a session, every single one of my team member has got a specific role. And in fact, I actually refuse to call them helpers because they are a team member. They're not just there to just be sat next to the children. They're there to build relationship with the kids. They're there to, they are discipleship makers. Scripture stresses in 1 Corinthians 12, 21, 23, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Actually, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. So let's learn to delegate effectively. Let's learn to know how to provide instructions, make sure that people understand what we're asking from them, and provide accountability and feedback. And this one, my next point is quite close to my heart. Don't be a martyr and carry everything yourself, because actually somewhere down the line you will burn out, because that's what happened to me. This time last year and the beginning of this year was probably the most releasing yet humbling experience I ever had. 80% of the reason why I burnt out was because of mental health struggles, but because I was so exhausted in ministry, I just didn't have the energy capacity to actually work through the stuff I was going through. And so I signed off for weeks. That was the right thing to do because of how ill I was. And it was important for me to like work through all the things I needed to do. I went to counseling, I chatted with my GP, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And when it came to coming back, which I wanted to, it had to be a staggered approach. I wanted to come back full time, but it had to be staggered because my body just refused to do anything apart from probably write 2 emails, speak to someone in the office, and that was it. Then I had to go home. And all the while in my head, I was thinking, but what about the kids? What about the team? Like, what's going to happen? How's this all going to work out? And next thing I knew, I heard stories of kids praying for healing for each other, stories of kids praying out loud for the first time, stories of kids chatting to their friends about God at school. It all kind of went trickling down, but in that time, God showed me to depend on my team and to trust in his sovereign power, because he really is the one that builds faith and will continue on doing what he needs to do to build his church, because it's his church. He will sustain it. He will raise the next generation. But that does lead us to one of the biggest issues of turbulence within ministry, which is what I call the ever-revolving door of volunteers. Our team looks big now at Citygate, but this time last year, I lost a significant amount of leaders, all in the space of 2 months. Don't worry, not all of them gathered together and had a coup against me. It just so happened that's what God was doing at the time. And it was important to release them and not make them feel guilty for stepping down despite the situation that I was in. So I was faithful, I was obedient, and you know, I said thank you to them, all that kind of stuff. But whilst all of that was happening, our children's attendance doubled. We went from having 40 kids to 100 kids in like a few months. And we're like, what do we do with that? So I learned just a few principles during that time, and I felt it was important to share some of those principles. Number one, I learned that it's everyone's responsibility to recruit. It's not just the safer recruitment person. It's not just the kids worker or the children's pastor. It is everyone's responsibility. And actually, we need, like I said earlier, depend on each other and encourage others to bring people into the ministry. So make the most. If you have a comms person or you have social media, make the most of that time. And I remember speaking to Becky Peacock about this, and one of her golden nuggets of wisdom was recruit people into the vision, not the need. It's very easy to say, guys, we need 20 more volunteers or else we're not going to run kids ministry anymore. Been there, totally. And it's really hard to be in that place. But actually, that's not what's going to get people, the right people, into the doors. What's going to get the right people is people who hear the stories that happens in kids ministry. Children's lives being transformed, discipleship, children coming out of the comfort zone and praying for each other. And so part of our recruitment strategy was to share stories frequently. We had parents, we had kids to share stuff at the front. We made sure we shared it on social media. I mean, it goes to say, don't expect one or two Sunday notices to be effective in recruiting. I've been there, I think, last time I did it, three people came up to me say, I want to join kids ministry, but they were visitors. It was so lovely of them. But in our church, they had to be members to join the kids ministry. It's really hard. So recruit people into the vision, not the need. Once you actually get someone in and you want to build a sustainable ministry, I learned that actually we need to communicate clear expectations from the start. Very easy to say, oh yeah, sure, like we do work in 1 in 4 rota, but you can do 1 in 8, or you can do 1 in 7. No, we mustn't budge that. We have to start with clear expectations from the start, and we say, this is what you have signed up for, this is the role descriptor, and this is what we're asking you to do. Please consider your capacity and come back to me if this is still something you want to do. So communicating our expectations from the get-go is extremely important. So another way to prevent turbulence in the team, we have to learn to depend on each other, collaborate, all while partnering with God in his mission. And my last point, one in love. Bitterness and resentment, it creates a very turbulent team because it can quickly take root. It grows and it can bring destruction to others. Recruitment is one of those things that can easily create not just a turbulent kids ministry, but a turbulent church. It's really easy to get to a point, and I've been there, where I've been thinking, why aren't the parents stepping up? They have children, it's their responsibility, they need to step up. Why don't the elders care? They're not listening to me. They're not giving me the time of day. It's a really hard place to be in. But actually, instead of allowing bitterness and resentment to take root, grow, and bring destruction to others, I think the best principle to stand on is to keep our hearts soft. Soft to the parents and soft to the elders. And that means having the right perspective. Sometimes when we're passionate about one thing, we forget that the other people are also really passionate about other things. What might appear a lack of concern may not necessarily be a lack of concern. It's most likely them carrying a lot of concerns themselves. So I encourage you, work together with your elders in considering solutions that seek to love the team and love the families. So as I mentioned earlier at Citygate, our attendance has doubled, not just in kids, but in church. So we felt it was important to go into multi-meetings. And that was a huge project. And we saw that in around spring that we needed to recruit around 40 to 50 servers to make it work in the space of 3 months, which was a hard, hard job. And I felt the pressure, obviously. But one of the most releasing things I heard from my elder when I was working through all these solutions was their acknowledgement that this is their problem as much as it is mine to bear. And that we as a team carried this whole process together. And if the initiative failed, we'll work on that together because we failed together. And that's okay. Feeling not alone was huge. In the end, we are now in a place where we're able to resource 3 Sundays out of 4. It's not the outcome that we want, but in that outcome, we were able to display our love for the team. Because actually, I could have easily told the team, no, everyone has to serve double time. Everyone has to just consider the capacities and just go for it. But it was really important for us to advocate for our team and say, actually, this is their capacity and this is what we can do. But we mustn't forget to love the families. So one of the ways we show our love for the families is that we take the time to create craft and activity packs and worship packs for every single child on a Sunday morning for that week. And in our rooms, we were able to kit it out so that the live stream is able to be shown and parents don't miss out. That's the resources that we have, but your resources might be completely different. And that's okay. That's absolutely fine. I think it's just important that we keep to the principles of how do we love our kids? Well, we love them by loving the team, loving the families, and loving our elders and working together in that. So let's keep our hearts soft. Just to round it off, to avoid turbulence in our teams, we must, I believe, create an aim and form a culture. So we're that we are one in purpose. We must remember the dream team. We must love the kids by loving the team, families, and elders. And let's face it, ministry is a marathon. Changing culture, building trust, loving one another takes a heck of a long time to nurture. Let's be kind to ourselves. Accept that there will always be some turbulence. That's just how life is. It's ministry. We have our own struggles. Our servers have our own struggles, and that's okay. Let's not be afraid of that turbulence. It's like being on a plane. The pilot works out a route to avoid as much turbulence as possible, but you'll never really have a fully smooth ride. But that's okay, because God's sovereign, hey? So thanks so much for listening. In your tables, you have got round pieces of paper, and it's now time to share your experience and learn from each other. So if you flip your brown pieces of paper, you've got a specific scenario. Talk about the things that you have experienced and spend some time learning from each other. What I'm actually going to do, because we only have 40 minutes, we won't have time to like go back to everyone. If you write down the answers, I'll take pictures, and actually I'll ask you to write down your email addresses so I can send it all to you so you can read other people's notes. And then once we're done, we'll have some Q&A. So feel free to do that for 10 minutes. Okay guys, just wrap up your conversations for 1 or 2 minutes. We've got 2 minutes left. Q&A can, if you want to stay, you can stay for Q&A if you want. We do have a 20-minute break, but obviously if you want to go for a wee or whatever, go for it. But just before you all go, I'd love for us to just consider these two questions. What are your next steps? Is there any turbulence in me? I find that actually I forget that I'm as much as part of the solution as I am part of the solution in the problem. So I find that just taking some time asking God, Lord, what is it in me that you need to transform and change? It's good to do that. It keeps us humble. And the second one is, what is the one area of turbulence you want to take action of? Just the one thing. We were talking in that group is about how like we want to do everything under the sun because it's really important and we're passionate about it. But sometimes there's a season for everything. We don't have to do every single thing. What is the one area of turbulence you want to take action of? So feel free, just the last 1 minute, either close your eyes or write it down. And then feel free to go downstairs. And I'm happy to stay around for any other questions.